الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسول النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'een left Makkah Mukarramah and made hijrah to Madinah Tayyibah. It was a new life that Allah opened to them. The life in Makkah Mukarramah was a life of difficulty, hardship, trials, tribulations, challenges every day. When they came over to Madinah Munawwara, it was a peaceful city, a city of nur and barakah. And the people of Madinah Munawwara welcomed Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba. Allah refers to this holy, blessed city as the city of Iman. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانِ. The city of Madinah Munawwara. So it was an opportunity for Rasulullah ﷺ to show the people of Madinah Munawwara and to show the world the true values of Islam. Many, many laws began to be revealed upon Rasulullah ﷺ in building the Islamic society. The values upon which the deen of Islam rests, now there was an opportunity to present that before the world. In Makkah Mukarramah, Rasulullah ﷺ and Sahaba were oppressed and suppressed. They could not express Islam, they could not openly propagate and invite towards deen. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala changed the halat and the conditions. Allah brought conditions of ease, conditions favorable to Islam and the Muslims. There were many challenges that they faced during this time also. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it that it was a complete transformation in terms of the presentation of deen and being able to practice deen freely, easily, and without any fear. Nevertheless, at this time, there was one Sahabi, Hazrat Abu Marsad Ghanami radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had to go to Makkah Mukarramah. Some narrations mention that Rasulullah s.a.w. sent him secretly to go and assist the weak, downtrodden Muslims in Makkah Mukarramah, the oppressed Muslims, those who were taken hostage, those who were in imprisonment, to work a plan in some way and to bring them over to Madinah Munawwara. So this Sahabi goes for this mission. Now he had to conceal himself, he could not expose himself before the kuffar. So at nightfall he had to go do his work, try to bring the Sahaba who were being oppressed, were tied up in chains, and were not allowed free access to Madinah Munawwara. So when he came to Makkah Mukarramah, there was a certain woman, a beautiful young girl, which he knew in the days of ignorance, jahiliyat, and he had some type of taluk also with her at that time before Islam. So this girl came forward, her name was Anaq, and she said that, we remember the old days, that we were together, maybe we can spend some time now also. So the Sahabi immediately responded, he says, Islam has come between me and you. I cannot come close to you, you cannot come close to me. For you are a disbeliever and I am a believer. Islam is the barrier between both of us. So nevertheless, when the Sahabi returned to Medina Munawwara, he asked Rasulullah SAW, can he marry this girl? The verses of the Quran came down at that occasion, وَلَا تَنْكِهُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ, that do not marry the idolaters, the mushrik women who are upon shirk until they embrace Islam, they enter into the fold of deen. Until and unless they do not embrace Islam, they don't move away from kufr and shirk and come onto tawheed, upon risalat, upon the deen of Islam, then it is haram for you to have that relationship with her, the relationship of nikah. You cannot marry them. In fact, Islam does not allow a believer to get close to a disbeliever. We are poles apart in our beliefs. We are poles apart in our value system. We cannot join urine to pure milk. The deen of Islam is pure, pristine. It's beautiful in every way. Inna Allah tayyib la yaqbalu illa tayyib. Allah is pure. Allah only accepts that what is pure. A believer is pure. A disbeliever is impure. In the Quran Majid, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentioned that disbelievers cannot even enter the masjid on account of their impurity. So the ulama explained that the impurity Allah is speaking about in this verse of the Quran Majid is that inward impurity of shirk and kufr. So if a kafir, even if he doesn't have any impurity on his body, but it is not something that he is encouraged to bring the kufar in the masjid. Open the masjids, we'll marry Islam with kufr, we'll show them our values and we'll buy into their value system. Islam does not have anything to do with this. Indeed, we will show them good akhlaq, we will show them kindness, for Islam is second to none in these aspects. But we will not compromise in any way, that where we will have to do Allah down, we will have to now break our rules or bend them to please the kufar. So here the Sahabi mentioned, Nabi of Allah, can I marry this girl? Allah says, you cannot marry them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Islam, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it very personal. For Allah Pak also takes it very serious. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were fighting against the Kufar. One Sahabi came from the land of Faris, Persia. And this was the land he hailed from, the land he had come from. And prior to Islam, he and his people were on the religion of fire worship. The people of Persia also all fire worshippers. So the Sahabi came to Medina Munawwara, and now he's taking part in the battle. So he has to hit the kafir and throw a blow at him. So the Sahabi took his sword and then he struck the kafir and he said, take this from me. Wa ana al-ghulam al-farsi. You know who I am? I am the young Persian boy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was displeased. The Nabi of Allah was close by while the jihad was taking place. And the Nabi of Allah immediately corrected the Sahabi on the battlefield at that moment. In other words, the Nabi of Allah didn't wait for the battle to get finished and for him to find an opportunity to correct the situation. When it comes to Islam and Kufr, we are totally distinct from each other. The Nabi of Allah said, why didn't you attribute yourself to the people of Medina, to the Ansar? Why didn't you say, wa ana al-ghulam al-Ansari? Why he said, I am the young Persian boy? He said, I am the Ansari Sahabi. And the Nabi said, didn't want us also to have any links and connections and attribute ourselves to them also. That also. So people, you know, they go from South Africa, they go to Makkah, Mukarramah, and they are maybe going to some shop to buy something, or meet someone. Say, who are you people? They say, no, we are South Africans, you know. Person feeling honored about the whole thing. There's nothing to feel honored about it. He said, nah, alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. As though now you aligning yourself to South Africa with a sense of pride. You know, we are South Africa. As though people from India, Pakistan, they like nothing. You know, we got some chip above the rest. We are different. We are like this. No, no. South Africa, you know, there's no goodness in South Africa. No. We are the people of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the friends of Allah and His Rasul. We are not the friends of the courts, you know. Whatever Allah and His Rasul want, we will do. Because this is what our life is for. We will live Islam, we will die Islam, we will love Islam, we will show Islam. We will never ever compromise in our Islam. Why? That's too close to our hearts. The Sahaba Ridwanullah and Ajmain understood the value of Iman, so they sacrificed their wealth and they sacrificed their lives for Islam. when a person has to choose between wealth and life, we all know, he'll choose his life over his wealth. For his life means more than his wealth to him. But when he came to the Sahaba, they chose Iman over their physical lives. That Allah, the call came, make hijrat. Immediately, didn't bat an eye. They had to leave their homeland, where they were born and brought up. The beautiful city of Makkah Mukarrama. Their families here, their businesses are here, their homes are here. They sacrificed everything. And in the interim, they knew also they can pass away. They can be killed. But they taught the world the lesson of the love of Allah, loyalty to deen, that we are Muslims, we are not kafirs. We will always remain Muslims in our identity, in our appearance, in our dressing, in our business ethics, in our, when we go out on vacation, we're still Muslims also. There's no time where I would drop my guard, I would leave Islam aside, I would be able to do this, I would do that. No, no. I'm a Muslim. Wherever I can be. So it's mentioned when Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu embraced Islam, he was a Jewish scholar, a Jewish rabbi, and he was rated among the very, very great scholars of the Jews. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam. So he had extensive knowledge, being a Jewish leader, alim, rabbi. He had a lot of knowledge, the knowledge of Torah, the knowledge of Injil, and now he's embracing Islam. So after accepting Islam, the Sahabi, he learns deen, and he shows a lot of mahabbat to Rasulullah sallam. He accepted Islam, embraced Islam, he began to practice Islam. But at that time, he thought to himself that prior to embracing Islam, we as Jews, we should respect the Sabbath. Like how is our main day, our great day, our blessed day is Friday. So we should now show extra importance to the Friday, the Jumu'ah. We should teach our children also when the day of Friday comes, it doesn't mean just a normal working day. The kuffar, their days are Saturday and Sunday. As far as the believer is concerned, our holy day, blessed day is Friday. So if we have to give our children a little extra spending, we should give them on a Friday. We should prepare some extra special dish on a Friday. We should relate to Friday as the holy day of the Muslims. And that's why Allah Pak made the Mubarak day of Friday is even greater than the Eid. On the day of Eid, you know, everybody is so happy. We need to be even more happy on the Friday. Mu'a Badri Alam Mirti Ramad, the very great Wali and Buzug, residing in Medina Munawara, prior to passing away, he made hijrat from India, going to Medina Munawara, and he lived there, and he passed away in the holy city of Medina Munawara, and he's buried in Jannatul Baqi, near the Azwaj-e Mutahharat. Allah honored him, Allah blessed him. When he left India, he went to Medina Munawara. Whatever food he had, whatever provisions he had, whatever wealth he had, he took that with him. And then he said to himself, I won't beg, I won't ask any favors. I mean, the holy city of Rasulullah sallam, I'll only turn to Allah for my needs. So this Buzruq, all his wealth got depleted, and he had no food, he had nothing. He had become very, very weak and sick, until he could not even move from his bed also. So ill, so sick he was, couldn't move from his room. And at that time, there was nobody, no family that he had to turn to for assistance. And he made that pledge with Allah, I'm not going to ask anybody, only ask Allah. And now he's thinking that I can pass away in this state, in this condition. One person comes to his room, nobody knows him in this Mubarak land. He comes there, he knocks on the door, and he takes his name, he says, Badri Alam? He says, yes, I'm here. He brought a whole pot of food, brought some wealth. He said, Rasulullah sent me. He said, Badri Alam needs this food. Go and give him this food. Special intizam from the side of Allah. Rasulullah comes in a dream of this person. And this person in Medina Munawara is going to difficulty. Go and take some food for him, take some wealth, and assist him. And then he brings this thing. So whenever the South Africans used to go to Medina Munawara in those days, in the 60s and the 70s, they used to go to meet this Buzrug. And Mu'a Badri Alam Niti Ramutlali would tell them, you people living in South Africa, you are a Muslim minority. You are surrounded by kuffar, and the kuffar systems, their ways, their schools, everything, their curriculum. So in order for you to maintain your Islamic identity, you should teach your children Islam, especially the Islamic sha'ir of deen, the Islamic symbol, salient features, the masjid, the azan, the muazzin, the Friday, all these are the important salient features of Islam. We should respect this more. And you should teach your children that we should come to the masjid for salah. Don't perform that salah in our workplaces. Don't perform it at home. The Nabi of Allah was not pleased with this. Nabi Sallam became so displeased in Medina Munawara when he learned people performing their salah within their homes. He said, I wish to take a group of youngsters, gather some firewood, go and burn the homes of all those people who are not coming to the house of Allah, the masjid. He said, had it not been for the women folk and children, I would have definitely burned the homes. Imagine, he became so sad. So this Buzurg, he says, all things affiliated with Islam, especially the Islamic sha'ir of deen, Islamic symbols and salient features, we should now relate to it. We should teach our children to relate to these things. And we should show more honor to it. When the Friday comes, best clothes, you know. Give your children some spending on that day, some special meal. Why so we'll identify with Islam and relate to everything of Islam. So, Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala, he embraces Islam, so he thinks, since prior to Islam, I used to respect the Sabbath, the Saturday. This was our holy day. Now that I'm a Muslim, I'm respecting Friday. But Islam doesn't prohibit us from respecting the Saturday. Islam said you must respect Friday, but there's nothing about Islam prohibiting us from showing respect to Saturday. So now what I'll do, I will try to reconcile and gather between both. I'll try to make Friday the great day also, and I'll show some special significant respect to Saturday also. So, you know, best of both. I'll get this also, I'll get that also. And Islam is not telling him to show disrespect to Saturday, so I'll just show respect to it. Nothing wrong there. And in Judaism, they wouldn't eat the camel meat, certain things, camel milk, so you won't have this. And in Islam, it's not compulsory to eat all these things. So I would respect Islam, I would accept that this thing is permissible to eat, but I will also show some respect and some consideration to my previous religion. And I would abstain from eating camel meat, camel milk. I would have this because in Judaism, you know, we shouldn't be eating. Islam is not saying it's haram, so I will accept it to be halal. But I want to now reconcile between both religions. I want the best of both. So Islam also. And I'll do this also. The Quran comes down immediately. Allah Pak says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. Address not only to that sahabi, but to all the Muslims. For this was a lesson, a universal lesson for the entire world till the day of Qiyamah. That Islam is a universal religion. Our kitab is a universal kitab. And it will stand the test of all time till the day of Qiyamah. So Allah Pak says, O you who believe, udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Enter into Islam in totality. In other words, this way, that I'm accepting Islam also and I'm accepting that also, trying to reconcile, you haven't accepted Islam. You haven't accepted Islam in totality. You cannot do this. You have to follow the way of Muhammad SAW entirely, leave your previous religion completely, entirely, leave it. If you want to marry the boat, accept little from here, that virtues are also practiced on, this virtue I'll get boat. He says, you really are doing a disservice to Islam. You are not accepting Islam in totality. Islam says that that is expired. You are a Jew, and now when Islam came, it came to cancel all the previous kitabs, all the previous religions. If you want to marry the boat, it's like you're taking expired medication. Imagine a person, the doctor gives him medication. He's looking at that medication. He said medication 2010, and now 2023. See, this doctor wants to kill me. And the doctor, if the people come to know what this doctor, this is what he's practicing, cheap medication, expired, he's giving all his patients, they lock him up. They probably strip him of his certificate. So by Allah also, is that in the time of each and every Nabi, the religion he followed was Islam. His kitab was a kitab of guidance for that era. But where that Nabi's time passed on, the time of Rasulullah SAW came, Nabi SAW is like the sun, and each and every other Nabi is like the stars in the sky. So where the sun comes out, immediately all the stars just disappear. Now to hold on to any other religion or any part of any religion or try to join that part with Islam, it is not accepted at all. It's rejected. Rejected to such a point that Allah is saying, Allah is declaring, you have not entered into Islam in totality. And then Allah Pak takes it so serious. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't tread on the footsteps of shaitan. you going on the road of shaitan. Allah Pak is saying, if you're trying to do this type of thing, you're following shaitan, you're not following Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, there's no Jew and there's no Christian who will hear of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then he would not accept my way of life and enter into Islam in totality. He won't accept, he will go to the fire of Jahannam forever and ever to remain therein. So in other words, the religion now is only Islam. On one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who came before Rasulullah sallam, the Nabi of Allah was seated in the masjid, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was present, Hazrat Umar came and he brought some scriptures of the Torah. Hazrat Umar didn't know that it is not right for a believer to refer to the Torah at that point. Hazrat Umar didn't know it. So he took this here and he brought the scriptures, he came before Rasulullah sallam and he began to recite from the Torah. Oh Nabi of Allah, quite fascinating, astonishing, and there's some good stuff here. See, the subject matter, the content, it is very appealing, interesting. And he began to read from it. Nabi says a facial expression changed. And Abu Bakr made it out. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala nudged at Umar and said, Umar, don't you see the Nabi of Allah is becoming upset with you? Immediately he says, A'udhu billah min ghadabillah, ghadabi rasuli. I seek Allah Ta'ala's refuge from Allah's anger and the anger of his Nabi. Oh Nabi of Allah, please forgive me, I made a mistake, I didn't know. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, O Umar, do not be in doubt regarding this affair. The only path to Jannat is the path of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the path of Islam. Lo kana Musa hayyan lama wasi'ahu illa tibai. Musa Islam was alive today. Then if he wants to tread on the path of guidance, he would have no option but to follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If he wants to get to Allah, get to Jannat, he will have to leave his religion, his path, his kitab, everything, and follow only Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If he wants to follow his own way, it will be rejected, it won't be accepted. Imagine the Nabi of Allah, Ibn Musa alayhi salam. On one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's respected beloved wife, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha, the daughter of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, she came before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she also didn't know till this point. So she had some scriptures of the previous nations, Torah to the Injil, and in it was mention of the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. And Yusuf alayhi salam incident is very, very enjoyable, also fascinating. So she brought that, she started reading about Yusuf alayhi salam incident. Oh Nabi of Allah, this is what is written here. Nabi Sallam became upset. And he said that, Oh Hafsa, if Yusuf alayhi salam was alive today, he also would have no option but to follow me. In other words, if he wants to be guided correctly on the straight path reaching to Jannat and Allah, he would have to leave his own religion and follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned one incident is that when Rasulullah ﷺ was in Makkah Mukarrama before Hijrah to Madinah Munawwara, then there were a handful of people who embraced Islam. It was a very, very difficult time the Nabi of Allah had to go through. And Nabi ﷺ would look for opportunities to present the da'wah of Islam to the people. So one very, very important time, golden opportunity is at the time of Hajj. People around the world used to gather at Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah, to fulfill the rituals of Hajj. Nabi Sassam would take few Sahaba with him, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, Zayd bin Haritha, maybe Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, whoever, and Nabi Sassam would take them and he would go. So on one particular occasion, Nabi Sassam came, there were not a lot of followers at that time, following Rasulullah Sassam, Sahaba, people who embraced Islam. So Nabi Sassam came on Hajj, and he came to Mina, and he's going to the different qabail, different tribes, with the da'wah of Islam presenting before them deen. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to this one tribe and he started speaking about Allah, about deen, about embracing Islam. And the people didn't give him any attention, didn't give him a hearing, didn't pay attention to what he says. So he tried his best to speak to them. But this one person in this qafla, in this group, one person, he showed a bit of attention to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He began to attentively hear and he showed respect. He showed respect. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left other people, he thought, this man at least is giving me a hearing, give me an audience, let me present Islam to him, maybe he'll accept. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began to speak to him, this is what the Quran was revealed to me, the verses of Quran, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him Islam. So this person, he took it to heart, he became very, very happy, and he was inclined to embracing Islam. So he told these people, let us embrace Islam, look at this person, what a good man he is. And he claims to be the prophet, he's got some scriptures with him, he's got this, that. So these people say, no, we're not interested. So he came to Rasulullah and said, really, what you're presenting before me is very beautiful. I'm inclined to it. I want to embrace Islam, but the problem is that a man, he needs his people. Now if I am to embrace Islam, then these people, my clan, they will throw me out. I will be outcast. And a person, he is in need of his tribesmen, he is in need of his people in life. So I don't think I'll be able to embrace your Islam, but maybe your religion of Islam, I'll embrace it maybe in the future. But now, I won't be able to, because my people are not siding with me. They're not supporting me in this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, no. Allah Pak will support his deen. If you don't support it, no problem. Allah will support his deen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart saw, broken hearted. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam desired that this man maybe will accept Islam. People didn't want to give a hearing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to the other tribes, and Allah Pak made it that that year passes. So while they were returning to their homeland, this group of people, so this man who was attentive, receptive to the da'wat of Rasulullah, he really wanted to embrace Islam, he told his people that really that man seemed to be a true person, an apostle of Allah, a Nabi of Allah. Never mind, when we're going home, we'll take another route, we'll pass by the people of Sadaq, and among them the Jews reside there. We would stop over, we'll ask him about this person claiming to be a Nabi, is there any mention of this person in their scriptures? Because see, we are idol worshippers, we are mushrikeen, but the Jews got some scriptures. So when we're going back home, we'll stop over, we'll ask him, is there any mention about this person, his description, his features in their books? If they got some mention, then we'll have a clue, an idea, and maybe we'll, the following year we'll embrace Islam. So they said, okay, not a problem. They stopped at Sadaq. There was an old Jewish leader, rabbi, he came out, very, very old. They thought maybe close to passing away. So they told him, we met this person in Mina and he was giving us da'wat. So is he mentioned in your scriptures? So he said, okay, let me go and bring my scriptures. He brought the scriptures out, he opened it. He said, okay, tell me what the man was saying and explain to me his description, his appearance, his facial description, his body description, explain to him. So after explaining Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak appearance and description of his hair, his color of his skin, he says that this is the true Prophet of Allah. If this is the person who met you, that this is the Nabi of Allah, quickly hasten and go and accept him as the Messenger of Allah, because there will be a lot of challenges that will face him. His people will be at war with him, and they'll go into many, many battles will ensue, but in the end, he would triumph and he would win. If you want to know what's good for you, even my own people, the Jews, they will oppose him. But really, he is on the right religion. So he told his people, you see, let's accept Islam. He said, next year, we go next year. The following year, something came up, time of Hajj, and they didn't make it to come for Hajj. The following year, the same thing happened. Each year, something came up, and they were unable to come for Hajj to Makkah Mukarrama. Then the time came, Rasulullah and Sahaba may hijr to Medina Munawwara. Then Badr took place, Uhud took place, Ahzab took place, the different battles took place. And then Fateh Makkah took place, conquest of Makkah in the 8th year. Now came the time when the Nabi of Allah is close to leave this world. And it's the 10th year, Nabi Sallam takes the Sahaba and come for Hajj, the farewell Hajj. This person, his name was Maysara, who met Rasulullah there, his name was Maysara. So he comes for Hajj in the end of the 10th year, beginning 11th year, he's coming. And then he comes to Rasulullah and he says, oh Nabi of Allah, do you remember me? He says, I remember you. You were that man at that time, long ago. I gave you a da'wat, you were inclined to, but because of your people, you didn't accept it. He says, yes, I am Maysara. He says, oh Nabi of Allah, I came to accept Islam. He showed little respect to Rasulullah. Allah Pak gave him that tawfiq. And then he accepts Islam. And then he says, oh Nabi of Allah, at that time which my people were there, you gave them da'wat, all passed away. Where will they be? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if they have not embraced this deen of Islam, hum finnar, all in the fire of Jahannam, to stay there, dwelling forever and ever. He said, I thank Allah for saving me from the fire of Jahannam and making me accept Islam. He said, O Nabi of Allah, I came very late. I came very, very late. You know. Allah honored me. Allah Ta'ala blessed me. Allah Pak saved me and gave me tawfiq that at least I came now. Allah Pak allowed me to accept Islam. I didn't pass away upon kufr. And thereafter, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. He mentioned he stayed with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'anhu, and he was very, very firm upon Islam and upon deen. And Allah Ta'ala honored him, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with the sharaf, the honor of being the sahabi of Rasulullah SAW. So brothers, the deen of Islam that is accepted by Allah is only Islam. Allah says, inna deena inda Allahil Islam. That the only religion accepted by Allah is the deen of Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَيُقْبَلَ مِنْ. The one who he takes any other religion as his religion besides Islam, it will never be accepted. He can come with gold, fill with this whole world on the day of Qiyamah. It won't be accepted. He would have to be dispatched to the fire of Jahannam to dwell therein forever and ever. Any good deeds any kafir will do, Allah will repay them in this world. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be no good deeds for them, for they didn't possess Iman, they didn't accept Islam. Allah will give them nothing. Allah Ta'ala keep us upon Islam till our last breath. Allah Ta'ala resurrect us with Rasulullah and the Sahaba and the Anbiya wa akhidawan. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.